This is the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Kendall of the notaballerina.com travel blog. Every episode, I'll share travel tales from several fellow travel lovers, and together we hope to entertain and inspire you, remind you of some of your own great travel experiences, and encourage you to hit the road again soon. Hello and welcome to episode 65 of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. If you're a regular listener, you'll have noticed we've been missing for a few weeks. As I warned, we were swapping over networks and technical background stuff. And if you're listening to this, it means we've got it all sorted out and I am ready to present the Thoughtful Travel Podcast every week to you again. At least up until, say, Christmas time when you'll give me a few weeks off, right? Hope so. Anyway, so we are back and it's exciting to be back at the microphone because recording the Thoughtful Travel Podcast is pretty much the most fun thing I do out of a lot of fun things. So it's really exciting to be back with it. Now, today we've got a really fun episode about first trips. So cast your mind back to the first time you travelled. It might be the first time you travelled within your own country or the first time you travelled abroad. As for me, when I think about my first trip, I think about I was 8 years old, very nearly 9 years old. I turned 9 2 days into this trip. And we were on our way to Europe for 6 months, camper vanning around Europe. But the first stop was a 3 day stopover in Hong Kong. And it was just such an assault on all my senses in a good way. Like it didn't freak me out, but I just remember so many weird little bits about it. Because it was just amazing after just growing up in Australia and, you know, not really knowing much about the rest of the world, to be perfectly honest. It's not, you know, not like these days with the internet, you know, back in the olden days. And a few things I remember distinctly about Hong Kong was I remember we spent a day, my birthday, in fact, my 9th birthday, in Ocean Park, in the theme park there. And of course, that was the first time I'd been anywhere like that. But weirdly, what I remember the most was a very, very long escalator, because the likes of which I'd never seen. Weird, hey? I also remember from the hotel windows being able to look out and see like all these apartment buildings. And we didn't have apartment buildings in Perth back then. And people were hung their washing out on kind of, you know, makeshift lines outside their windows. That was, you know, completely new to me and fascinating. I would just stare at it. And I remember learning something about hygiene, which I've never forgotten. We took a taxi somewhere and the taxi driver had a bowl full of coins, you know, which were part of the fares that people had given him. And my mum told me, I didn't see it happen, but she told me straight afterwards that she'd watched him, this is horrible, but she'd watched him tip the coins out, I don't know, onto the seat or something. And then he'd used the bowl to urinate in and then tip that out onto the road and put the coins back in. So she said to me, whenever you touch coins, you have to wash your hands. And to this day, I think of that moment. Sorry, Mum. And back to that particular situation in Hong Kong. So, you know, I learned so many things on my first trip abroad. And of course, we went on to spend 6 months in Europe, which was completely life-changing for me. And I know I bring it up quite often on the podcast. But yeah, those are a few things I remember about my first trip. I don't really remember my first plane ride then. You'd think I would. But I really don't, you know, it must have been exciting, but I don't really remember that part. I just remember the differences when I got to Hong Kong. Anyway, I've got three great guests today who are all telling us one of their first trips. And the first one is Alicia Nelson from the Prairie Style File. And she chatted with me about the first time she went traveling without her family. So she was a high school student at the time, 17 years old. And she was on a high school trip to Washington, D.C.
The trip really that did it for me, that made me realize that I wasn't a kid and that I had a little bit of ability to determine my life was I took a trip, and this is an unlikely trip, but I took a very highly chaperoned trip through the Close-Up organization that takes high school students and kind of gives them a tour of U.S. government. So you go to Washington, D.C. We met our representative, we met our senator, and you do a lot of really intensive policy sessions, and you train for it by taking a really intensive civics class. So it sounds like a really structured experience. And I think that's probably why my parents and a lot of the other parents were okay with us going, because you, I mean, it's billed as like you're chaperoned all the time and it's basically school and you get to see, you know, the government close up and have these amazing experiences. And our advisor, this is my junior year, always planned it so that the cherry trees were in bloom.
Oh, beautiful. I love cherry blossom.
Oh, so it was wonderful. So he knew what he was doing, and he'd taken this trip for decades at this point. So, of course, I had to do it, and we all fundraised and everything. But what I really remember about this trip was not necessarily it was really interesting to get kind of a sit-down session with lawmakers and to meet with other students. But what I really remember was they gave us a certain amount of free time during the day, which was really unheard of, because I've traveled since then and I've seen, like in Spain, I've seen 8-year-olds be told, okay, you need to be back here at 2 o'clock. But that just did not really happen on field trips and events when I was in high school.
Right. Yeah.
And it's strange when you think about it, because I'm from Minnesota originally. You can drive a car, you can get a farm permit and be driving a car by like 14 or 15 years old.
Oh, wow.
15. And I was driving a vehicle and helping my dad on the farm when I was like 12. So they give you responsibility to handle really dangerous machinery and vehicles, but they don't really trust you to like go have lunch by yourself.
How funny.
Which is odd. And I was driving my vehicle 30 miles away to work at my part-time job. And I was considering taking college courses at the time. So I was a really independent person. But the idea of being told, okay, you have 2 hours to go find lunch in DC. See you back here. And that was it. Was like the most amazing thing that had ever happened to me up until that point.
Oh, I can totally relate. It's amazing, isn't it?
It was wild. So we put our heads together and I asked the people with me. We were people from North Carolina, I believe, Rhode Island, just a selection of people that we had done these sessions with. And we're like, what do we do? Nobody had any idea.
All like, these possibilities, but no ideas.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, we should just ask somebody that looks like they live here and see where they eat. And that is pretty much my travel motto. I like to plan maybe one or two things when I travel per day and then just ask advice. And if I go to a great coffee shop, ask the person behind the counter where they would eat. And then at lunch, ask the best donut shop, or just kind of keep on getting recommendations from people that seem like they know their stuff. And so we did, and we landed in this amazing Chinese restaurant, and we all ordered things that we'd never ordered. And we have a lot of pictures from this particular restaurant. I don't think the restaurant itself was super memorable, but the experience was, because here we were and we just met and we're in the nation's capital making our own decisions, and it was nuts. And so then when they sent us out, I think it was maybe a 5-day trip, so I'm sure they sent us out 2 or 3 more times, we were just like different people. And it's crazy. I mean, we're going to be going to college in a couple years, so we should have felt like adults before then. But I just distinctly remember 17 years old being like, okay, I have arrived. I've got this. And like, we were navigating public transportation. We just figured it out. And this was, I mean, I graduated from high school in the late 90s, in 99. So this was like pre-smartphone, pre-everything.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, true.
Just figured it out. And it was amazing. And like that one trip, just like, it just blew my mind. Like, I was like, I can do anything. I'm fine. We've got this.
Oh, that's fabulous. Oh, I completely relate. When I was 14, I was on a school trip. We spent a month in Germany because I was learning German in school. And same thing, I remember being in Berlin. And yeah, we all had to find our way back to our homestays, and they were all spread out across the city. And, you know, we'd have free time. Yeah, go get your lunch and do all of this. And to think that we could navigate around like that and in a foreign country, and our German wasn't really good enough to get by with at all because we hadn't been learning for very long. And yeah, that feeling, you really kind of feel empowered and, oh, God, I can do anything. So yeah, amazing stuff.
It's a great feeling.
I love Alicia's story, and I think it's a great reminder to parents of high school students. If you are contemplating, should you send your child or teenager on that school trip, then do it. I had a similar, very, you know, empowering experience, as I mentioned when I chatted with Alicia, going to Germany at the age of 14. And I'm sure my parents were terrified. If I think of it now, that's only 7 years until my son is 14. I can't imagine allowing him to go across the other side of the world on his own for a month. And back then, like, I didn't get to contact my parents while I was away. There was no internet. It was too hard to call. Terrifying, but it was really fabulous for me and for my kind of, you know, personal development. Anyway, my next guest is Sharon Gourlay of Where's Sharon. Now, she is extremely well-travelled now. So when I asked her about her very first trip abroad, I was totally not expecting to hear what she told me.
My first one was when I was 18. I signed up to go on this trip to the US. It was a group trip, like, from different uni students from across Australia and New Zealand. And I got over there and I was just so homesick, like, just crazy homesick. So I actually came home, like, after 3 days.
No way. This really surprises me to hear this about you.
I know, right? That's why I like it. I like to say it, like, just because your first trip doesn't go well, you know, like, you can keep going. It's okay. So it improves.
Wow. what made you, you know, what was so bad that you felt you had to come home?
I think there was a lot of factors, like I was able to afford the trip because my father passed away the year before. And what I didn't know would happen, because you didn't know your exact departure date when I signed up, was that the departure date was actually the anniversary. So it just made it
unfortunate. Gosh.
Yeah. And then when I got there, they were like, oh, you can sleep when you're dead. Like, that was like the slogan, which I might find kind of funny, like, in later years. But the problem was I was just so tired, you know, and you just, it doesn't help.
No.
When you're not in a good mood and you don't get any sleep and, you know, it just sort of exacerbated the problem.
Yeah. Oh, no. Gosh. That's terrible.
It was pretty embarrassing, though, like, coming back home and everyone's like, what, you're here already?
How long were you supposed to be away for?
A month.
Right. So 3 days later, there you are. Whoops.
Yeah, like, it was slightly longer because of the travel times that I was actually away. Yeah. But I was there 2 nights.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you poor thing. That must have been miserable. Oh, no. Wow. So when was your second trip abroad then? How did you get past this one?
The beginning of the second trip was a bit dramatic too. It was Yeah, it was 3 years later. I had in my head, like, I really wanted to travel even more after that experience, actually, because I wanted to prove that I could, you know, that I wasn't going to be like that again.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and so the next time, actually, it was when I was 21. I had my first job out of an IT degree, and it was like I got into IT just in time for the dot-com crash, right? So I turn up to work and there is no work. It's shut down. Right. So, as you do, I went to the bar back at uni, where a lot of my friends were still at uni. And then I went to the travel agent and I booked a trip to Europe as soon as I could, which was like a week later.
I love it.
So I went to Europe. I did like the stereotypical Kentucky trip and all of that. But on the way, I did have some dramas. I got really sick. On the flights on the way to London, all the way from Tasmania, so it was a really long journey.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I fainted. I actually fainted. The only time I've ever fainted in my life on the flight. And I still will not fly Singapore Airlines. I hate them. They were so horrible to me. They said it was because I drank too much and I hadn't had a single alcoholic drink, which they should know because I'm stuck on the plane.
Yes. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, no.
Yeah. And, like, they didn't even want to get me water. Like, there was a passenger who was a nurse who sort of, like, adopted me because I was by myself. Yeah, so they also criticised me for being alone.
We're not allowed to travel alone? Oh, gosh. Apparently not. That's terrible.
Yeah, so she was trying to get them to get me water and they bought some water and said, you're so lucky we're getting this for you. Like, they were horrible, like, absolutely horrible.
Oh, no. I can't believe you've gone on to become a travel blogger who travels, you know, all the time after these two terrible experiences.
I just got them out of the way. It was good.
That's hilarious. I never would have picked these as your stories from your first trips abroad. That's amazing. And so then you got to Europe and you did your Kentucky and then you've realised that you did love, I mean, I'm not sure
I
how
the
Kentucky
went,
but you loved the fact of being away or?
Yeah, I loved it. And I think it was actually a really good way to go for a first trip, like a tour like that, because it just gave me the confidence, you know, like next time I was fine going by myself. It wasn't an issue.
Yeah,
plus, I didn't even know Lonely Planet existed or whatever. I had no idea how to go about it by myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can understand that. And then half of it is just the knowing what it's like there. Because, yeah, from here from Australia to go to a foreign, a country where they speak other languages, that's like, that's quite intimidating at first, and you can't really imagine because we don't have the exposure to that stuff. So, yeah, no, that is a good way to
I was like, how do you talk to people? You know, it didn't occur to me that they can speak English.
Or that you can even communicate, you know, without common languages and stuff. Yeah, so
true.
That's excellent. Oh, well, there you go. I'm glad that you managed to pick yourself up and keep traveling.
I think this is a great lesson in that if at first you don't succeed, keep traveling. Obviously, Sharon is now completely, you know, completely at home traveling in all parts of the world. You might remember her from a recent episode when she went to North Korea. So she will travel anywhere. And yet those first two trips were, well, the first trip was terrible and she came home. And the second one certainly started off badly, but that did not stop her. And I think probably a lot of you may feel the same way, that somehow you have this determination to travel no matter what. You just have to keep going and nearly all your experiences will be wonderful. But yeah, I was really surprised to hear Sharon's story. It was amusing as well. All right. My final guest today is Carolyn Schonefinger, and she is from Holidays to Europe. I've known her online for quite some time and I was lucky to get to meet her last month, must be last month by now, in Melbourne. So it was lovely to meet her. And then we got to catch up a little bit after that to have a conversation about traveling for the podcast. And she is the Europe expert. So she is Australia-based like me, but has a real obsession with Europe. And part of this conversation details exactly where that came from, as well as her very first trip abroad.
My first trip abroad was when I was about 16, I think. Mm-hmm. I went with my parents and my brother to New Zealand. My mum had a cousin who had moved over there with her family just for a 12-month work placement. And it was, the ideal opportunity for us to go and visit. So it was actually the first trip abroad for my entire family, so mum and dad as well. So it was pretty exciting, you know, going through the process of getting the passports and, you know, negotiating airports and all that sort of stuff. So, it was really exciting. And we went, we must have gone during the school holidays. So we went for 2 weeks. It was actually in the middle of winter, so it was pretty freezing. Mm. But it was just beautiful. And, we really loved it. We sort of based ourselves with my mum's cousin, but we went off and did sort of, you know, a few 2 and 3 day trips away from there as well. They were based in Auckland. So it was really nice. And I think that sort of what really, set in motion, my love of travel and getting involved in the travel industry and so forth. Years later, that was the thing that sparked it.
Interesting. Yes, isn't that interesting? And it doesn't have to be an exotic, far-flung trip. The process of being in a different country to your own, even if it's New Zealand, which is not so dissimilar to Australia, that's enough to make you, get that travel bug.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Now, you're the big Europe specialist, so what about your first trip to Europe? What did that involve?
At the time I was working as a travel consultant. So after this New Zealand trip that we just talked about, I got a real sort of desire to work in the travel industry and managed to get a job at a travel agency in the town where I live. And after a few years, I'd been with my boyfriend, who's now my husband, for a few years, and he was actually born in Germany, and
hence the surname. Yes.
Yeah, his family had migrated out here when he was six, but all his aunties and uncles and grandparents still lived in Europe. So one of his grandmothers was having a 75th birthday the following year. And there was going to be a big family party, and his parents were going, and he wanted to go. So he said to me, "Well, why don't we go? You come, and we'll do a bit of a trip of it." And so I managed to get some extra time off, you know, extend my leave from work. Perfect. And we did a Kentucky tour, as lots of young Aussies do.
Yep. I didn't, but I know lots of people who did.
Hooning around Europe, you know, at a flat-out pace. Seven countries in, I don't know, 14 days or something, I think we did.
Wow.
And then we went to, northern Italy, actually, where this particular grandmother lived for the party and visited a few other relatives as well in Switzerland and a couple of other places. So, yeah, that was my first trip to Europe, and a particular place that we went to on the Contihi tour is called Lauterbrunnen, which is in Switzerland.
Yes.
And I think it's there that I just absolutely fell in love with Europe, and I've been back there many times to Lauterbrunnen, most recently just a few weeks ago, and that sort of set the wheels in motion of my addiction to traveling to Europe, I guess. So,
what was it about it that really what is it about Europe that really really grabs you?
I think it's the age of everything. The beautiful, the architecture, wherever you go, it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, you can have the timber sort of framed buildings in Germany, and then you've got the stone ones in France, and so wherever you go, it's totally different. Mm. Scenery, like I just adore the mountains and the lakes. It's just everything. I think it's so different from what we have here in Australia, yet we've got similarities too, of course. But everything is so unique, I think, and the history. When you see a church that's been built 1,000 years ago, or the Pont du Gard, it's been there 2,000 years. You think, yeah. What?
Yeah, as an Australian, it's almost impossible to comprehend that, isn't it?
I know, it is, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're almost lucky, because I think people like us, from countries like ours that has a relatively short time of modern civilization, I suppose, then, to see places like Europe, the lens through which we see it is like we're just blown away. I think, like, if you're born in Europe, it's impressive, but it's just not
the
same.
You take it for granted.
So we're kind of lucky to be able to see it that way, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Because that's right. They probably walk past, an ancient building every day of the week, mm-hmm. and not even take a second glance at it, whereas we would just stand there with our mouth open going, how can this be so old?
It's interesting. I often dismiss tours like Contihi tours as being, really not travelling. But here we go. We've got two very experienced travellers in Sharon and Carolyn, and they both started their travel experiences with Contihi tours of Europe, and they've gone on to do a lot of different things. So I should be perhaps less critical of that kind of travel. I'm sorry. All right. Now, I hope you've enjoyed hearing about some of these first trips, and I'm very keen to hear about your first trips. Do head over to the Facebook page. Just search for Thoughtful Travellers, or join using the link in the show notes. The show notes will be at notaballerina.com/65. Now, where can you find these guests and learn more about their travels? Well, for a start, Alicia Nelson is at prairiestylefile.com. She's got a great book about North Dakota beer as well, link in the show notes. You can also find Sharon Gourlay at wheresharon.com. And for the fellow bloggers out there, try her site digitalnomadwannabe.com. Sharon is like my guru. She's so knowledgeable about blogging well and making money out of it as well. She supports her family through blogging, and I think that's very impressive, and I want to be the same so I could travel even more, well, much more even. Finally, I spoke with Carolyn of Holidays to Europe, and you can find her blog at holidaystoeurope.com.au. Lots of beautiful stuff there. She has this love of Switzerland. Every picture of Switzerland is beautiful, so, it's a great start. And she also has a bunch of ebook travel guides, and I'll leave a link to those ebook travel guides in the show notes as well. So do pop into the Facebook group and say hello. You can also get me on Twitter or Instagram at Amanda Kendall. Use the hashtag ThoughtfulTravelPod. And it is so good to be back in the podcasting saddle, and I look forward to speaking to you again very soon. This has been another episode of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast.
Show notes and other information are at notaballerina.com/podcast. Join me again soon for another chat about why we travel. Bye for now.